It is wonderful to see everybody out this evening. It's always a blessing to be able to come together to worship, study God's Word. We welcome our visitors that are with us this evening. Always an honor to have guests, and it's just encouraging by you being here, and we hope that we encourage with you as you're with us. Before I get into the lesson, I meant to let Lance know, I do need someone to fill in for me April 3rd, spring break time. We'll be out of town April 3rd. That'll be starting the new quarter. Also, I'll be teaching Josiah, May, Logan, and Charlotte. I believe that's right. All kids in that class. That class, so someone will have to fill in for that class when I'm away. So if you're willing to step up and fill in, please let me or Charlie or Ron know as that you're all there. So, anyways, that's April 3rd, and Wednesday's April 6th. So, back to get to the lesson for this evening. This evening, I brought out this morning to talk about some of the things that God is not, and kind of focus on it. We're not. God is not. He's not a liar. He will not be mocked, unchanging. And then, told you that tonight we go forward and talk about Satan using that word. And it's just a small word, just a three-letter word, and if you apply it to the scriptures in a wrong way, he can just completely change the text. And that's what I want to kind of look at this evening. It is Satan's use of the word not, because as you go out to the world, if you get caught up in studying people, it does get caught up to a point that sometimes they're so surprised as you bring out a Bible verse and say, well, it says you're not supposed to do that. They're quick to say, well, no, it doesn't say that, or it does. And so it's so easy to see how this can apply, and I hope that it will be beneficial to you this evening. And the first point I want to bring out is Satan. Talk about Satan a little bit, and understand that Satan is the tempter. We go to Matthew, and we look at Jesus being tempted. That was Satan. Satan was tempting Jesus, and I believe that was a more special situation. Satan was there actually tempting our Lord and Savior, but today he's still the tempter. Though we don't face him physically and see him in the presence, but he is still at work today. He is still the cause of our temptations. I believe the scriptures go forth and point that out. And so in 1 John chapter 3, and verse 8, 1 John 3 and 8 says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And again, so here it says, whoever sins. When we are sinning, we are making ourselves of the devil and his works. And we are going in the wrong direction. It says, this is the reason. This is why Jesus came to earth. This is why Jesus was sent, is to destroy his works. In John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, and verse 44. Here also bringing out a similar point. He says, you are of the Father, the devil, and your will is to do your Father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of liars. So as God is one who it is impossible for him to lie, Satan is the father of liars. And so again, just bringing out, Satan is the source. Satan is the one that has all the sources for lying. And we often use this verse, I believe it's probably more used than these other two that we've already looked at. 1 Peter 5:8, Satan's out there like a roaring lion. The enemy, he is out there like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we have to be on guard, prepared. And when we talk about the armor of God, because that's something we talk about from time to time, often we teach it to the children because it's something that we can use coloring sheets for, or something we can give them a visual aid for, talk about an helmet, a shield, and girding your waist, and shodding your feet, and we can truly show them certain things to help their minds. But we also have to know why it is we're putting these things on. And in Ephesians 6 and verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the armor of God. Put it on. Take up your shield.
prepare yourself. And so we need to know that Satan's out. But it's not always real trickery stuff that gets us caught in temptation. It's not always the biggest, hardest things that come at us that Satan uses to come at you and tempt you to fall away. And again, I think if we just look at the word not and say Satan applies it, he puts it into this verse, he puts it into that verse, and Satan takes it away from these other verses, then it changes the way the world sees the scriptures. And it causes them to go down a false path. It causes them to fall down this path of sin because they've been taught error just by simply taking an attitude in the Word of God. We know that we're not to do that. I don't have those verses up here, but we can go to Revelation 22 in verses 18 and 19, where it tells us that those who would add to the things that are written in this book, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And those who shall take away from the book will have their life taken out of the book of life, out of the holy city, out of all the things that are written. And we're going to miss out. 1 Corinthians 4, 6 tells us not to think beyond what is written. And so Satan's use of the word not. I want to look at a couple points. The first thing is I believe this is how he started his temptation on mankind. In Genesis chapter 3, and you look along with me here in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of the any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruits of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" She made everyone clear. She said, "We're not allowed to eat. We cannot. Lest what? Lest we die." What does Satan mean? What Satan said, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not. He just changed the sentence, like just adding one word to it. Oh, you won't die. Okay. He goes a little further after that. Says, "See, God isn't going to kill you. He just don't want your eyes to be open. He don't want you to be like him. He sees what he knows what's going to happen when you eat of this." But it really, you know, maybe because there's a little advantage to eating it, because your eyes will be open, you'll know right and wrong. Better yet, there's no consequence now, right? If nothing happens, then nothing happens. "But I know I'm not going to die." He said, "I'm not going to die. You shall not." He simply changed the wording slightly, added the word "not" to it. And when we think about that, when we think about the world today and that mindset of, well, if the consequences are gone, then what does it matter? If there's no consequences for our actions, if we don't have to face death, then it's going to be okay. It doesn't matter. "You know, she went forth and ate of the tree, gave it to Adam also, and punishment came upon her." But it's the same thing today, as we could see how the world would do that. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 21. And looking at verse 8. It says here, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the disabled, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Again, that just sounds so terrible when we think about the consequence, the punishment that's going to come upon those if they do not repent of their sins. But again, the world has got caught up in a mindset of, there's not a... And that's what the temptation that has been set out there is, that God will not punish people. Then he goes focused on, look, God is love. Oh, yeah, that's a true statement. There's Bible verses for it. God sent his only begotten Son to die for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world. And so they focus on these verses, and then they go say, God's not going to punish you. God's not going to throw anyone into an eternal lake of fire. That's not what the verses say. That's not what the Bible says. The Word of God warns us. The Word of God tells us that
that when the day of judgment comes, it will be like being separated from the right hand to the left, and he will come forward.
Tell the psalm, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom. And others, depart from me, I never knew you. Again, Satan says that temptation. Oh, God won't do that. God's not going to do that. And again, if the consequences are gone, we have a mindset that there is no eternal punishment, then we become less fearful of what does it matter if we do anything in this world? What does it matter if we don't go to church? What does it matter if we don't obey the gospel? Because there's no consequences. God wouldn't do that because God is love. And so just by adding not, God will not cast people into this lake of fire. It changes the matter. I mean, you turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32. Matthew 5 and verse 32. And the article that I put out this morning was on marriage and why get married, and especially when you consider the divorce rate of the world today as it has continued on. And today, again, just a mindset that people divorce for just about any reason. But yet here it says, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And so here he says there's only one exception, one point here is sexual morality. And anyone to go forth and do otherwise commits adultery. If we just says does not commit adultery, then that's all good. Then it changes people's views on the mindset, on this command, on what they can and cannot do. Again, how surprised people are when you can go to Malachi in chapter 2 and you point out that God hates divorces. And like, God hates divorces? What? Why? It's full of evil because there's so much that goes into that. Fighting of who gives what and how the kids are going to be split up. Again, it's supposed to be a lifetime commitment in that covenant that the two have made. And so just by adding up, you don't commit adultery. You do not. And therefore, the mindset is, well, then we can go ahead and marry for a while, divorce. What do the scriptures say? We have to follow the scriptures and see what it is God has told us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Again, just sin. And we can take the time and point out and just go through each individual sin and just add the word not, or take the word not, and this is the situation where we take the word not out of it. 1 Corinthians 10, 6, verses 9 and 10. Here it brings out, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Will not inherit. But if we were to say, do you not know the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God? That you can do as you wish. God is loving. Jesus already died for you. Once saved, always saved. Everybody's good to go. Don't need to even read the rest of the verse. But that's not what it says. It says, or do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkenness, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not be part of his kingdom. But yet, if we take the word not out, then it just makes the point that all these people, again, and this is what the world does. Jesus died for you, so it doesn't matter if you're an adulterer or sexually immoral or homosexual or a murderer or a liar or a thief, you will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the world has done. That's what Satan has tempted people with. And then they get caught up under false teaching. Continue in that lifestyle. Just find it simpler and work it off. So again, if you go back to the beginning of that verse, it says, do not be deceived. Because that's what is being done. We are being deceived. Believing false teaching. And so I leave with the point of
Ephesians 4, I had one verse on that. Ephesians 4, again, in the mindset of one church, one faith, as you would read here in Ephesians 4, verse 4, says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So here again, just the one body, one church, one faith, one baptism. Again, if we bring out the word not there, there's not just one. And this is a very popular one. You know, oh, I think this is just how God has made it open for everybody to do just as they want. And the reason we get caught up in being deceived by just a simple thing, by simply the word not, or taking it away, adding to, or even other parts of it, just taking a word away, it may not be the word not. But how does that work? How do people get caught up in that? Well, one is they don't know the Scriptures. They don't seek the Scriptures and study and open up to see whether or not these things are so. In Matthew 22 and verse 29, it says, but Jesus answered them, you are wrong, because you know neither the Scripture nor the power of God. That they didn't know the Scripture. That they were wrong. Why? Because they didn't know. As we have the opportunity from day to day to open up our Bibles and to study and to search the Scriptures, that is how we can know the right from wrong. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 tells us to be diligent, to present yourselves approved unto God, a workman able to rightly divide the word of truth. If we're not diligent in studying the Scriptures, we're not being more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, then we're not searching the Scriptures to see if these things are so. Then we're going to be easily deceived also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, here it says, do not be deceived. Again, continues on that point, right? Time and again, don't be deceived. And the way people get deceived is by not knowing right from wrong, not knowing the Scriptures, not knowing what to expect. It says, bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor as the right. Do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Again, just don't go continuing on that point, being deceived, thinking that all is okay. God has shown us, God has given us His Word to know right from wrong, what path you should be walking, which path you should be going down, what paths to avoid. But we have to study the Scriptures. We have to know right from wrong. And again, it usually comes back to our own desires. Though we can say that, yes, Satan is the tempter, though we know that Satan does not have the power to force any of us to do anything. We brought out this morning 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that God will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. Again, that's another spot Satan tries to trick us, thinking that you can't do anything about it. You're going to lose this battle. There's no way for you to get out. God says He will not allow you to be tempted without an escape to get out of it. And so He uses our own desires against us here in James 1, verse 14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. That's why we go to Romans 12, where it tells us that we must renew our mind to the will of God. We have to change our desires to the desires of God, to His will, transforming ourselves into the image and the likeness spiritually like Christ. Because He's going to tempt us with the fleshly desires, with the love of this world. In Matthew chapter 15, and looking at verse 18, the reader says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual morality, death, false witness, slander.
or what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Again, he brings up a point, it comes from the heart. Again, Satan doesn't go forth and just throw things at you that are hard for you to struggle with. Again, I've heard it time and again as we study in Bible class or study one-on-one or talking with others, that they bring out, that's just not a temptation for me. It may not be a temptation. And so therefore, you can see it on the TV, you can hear about it on the radio, you can see someone else doing stuff, and it would not bother you that much because it's not a temptation. But for others, it's something that they struggle with, and that if just a small part of that gets into their life, it can make them go downhill quickly. And it all comes down to our desires, making us learn how to renew ourselves. But too many today seek out those who will prove what they want to hear. So I want to leave with 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 3, which says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off to myths." Again, because of their own desires. They want to be taught that it's okay to do as they please. And so if it's what they're looking for, they can find it. And you can find someone is going to teach and preach and even misuse the Word of God to make it fit you feel that you are okay to continue in whatever sin it is you want to continue. And so again, we have to emphasize, we have to change our hearts, our minds, to the will of God. Wanting to serve Him, wanting to obey Him, wanting to have that home in heaven. Don't let Satan deceive us. A simple use of the word not, or simply adding to and taking away from the scriptures. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here and you have obeyed the gospel, you always extend the opportunity for any who's heard the word and understands that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe that He is the Son of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you can make your confession that you believe that He is, and that you repent of your sins, be baptized, washing those sins away. If you're here, you've been baptized, and you need